All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're going to be tackling a really interesting question, and that is, what were the major intellectual shifts that led to a questioning and even sometimes a rejection of miracles in the West?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. It's almost like tracing the thought process of the intellectual journey that brought us to a lot of our modern ideas about what is and is not possible.
Right, exactly. And to help us kind of map this all out, we're going to be looking closely at some great material from Dr. Robert C. Newman, and in particular, his session on science and liberalism on miracles. So the idea here is to give you a clear sense of how seemingly different things, like the Renaissance and the Reformation and the Scientific Revolution and the rise of theological liberalism, how they all kind of interlocked and reshaped views on the supernatural.
Yeah, it's really fascinating stuff. It's all connected.
Yeah. So let's just start right at the beginning with the Renaissance. I mean, when most people think about the Renaissance, art and culture are usually the first things that come to mind. But there was a real shakeup in the world of ideas too, right?
Oh, absolutely. And a big part of that shift was the fall of Constantinople in the mid-1400s. What happened was this event led to a huge influx of Greek classical authors and their writings into Western Europe.
Right.
All of a sudden, scholars had access to these foundational texts firsthand.
So instead of just relying on, interpretations or summaries from the Middle Ages, there was this direct engagement with like the original source material. How did that change how people thought?
It was a big deal. It really sparked new energy in European universities and a huge interest in Greek and Hebrew, both ancient languages. This really broadened the intellectual landscape in Europe. I mean, before it was mostly focused on medieval Christian, Islamic, and Jewish perspectives, but now it was expanding beyond that. And a lot of these ancient thinkers, well, they offered explanations for things that previously were thought to be divine intervention, and they did it through a more natural lens. It's subtle, but this started to kind of chip away at the idea that you needed miracles to explain everything. And on top of that, this rediscovery brought back some old heresies too, and people started to become more aware of miracle stories from pagan traditions, which of course makes you wonder, well, how special are Christian miracles if these other cultures have similar stories?
Right. So it wasn't just like, more information. It was fundamentally different ways of looking at the world. And then we get the Reformation. Now, a lot of people see that as mostly about religious doctrine, but how did that play into this growing skepticism towards miracles?
Well, the Reformation was basically a rediscovery. A going back to the basics of Christianity, to the gospel itself. But before that happened, there were a few things that made change possible.
Okay, so like what kind of things?
For one, not many people could read back then. So most people didn't get their understanding of the Bible directly from the source. And then there was syncretism, which is like a blending of Christian beliefs with, local pagan stuff. So what people thought was a Christian miracle might have actually come from something else entirely. It gets kind of blurry. Plus, you have the Catholic Church as this massive institution.
Right, so people weren't necessarily forming their beliefs directly from like scripture itself.
Exactly. And the reformers, they were all about going back to those original biblical texts, They really pushed people to study the Bible firsthand. And when people started doing that, they began to see these distinctions between the miracles in the Bible and the ones the Catholic Church was promoting, like miracles associated with saints or relics. It felt different.
So, like, the biblical miracles became the gold standard.
Yeah, exactly. And because the Catholics were saying that miracles were still happening through these holy figures and the church, the reformers, who are all about scripture alone, that's sola scriptura, they started to become skeptical of this idea that miracles were still going on all the time.
Interesting. Okay, so we have this expansion of intellectual horizons with the Renaissance and a renewed focus on the Bible with the Reformation, both of which, in their own ways, push people to question miracles a little bit more. So what comes next in this evolution of ideas?
Then we get to the Scientific Revolution. And honestly, this is probably the one that really changed how the West thought about the supernatural. I mean, even in medieval universities, people were already finding problems with Aristotle's ideas about physics, like how things move on Earth.
But the big turning point came with guys like Copernicus, Galileo, and Kepler.
Right, totally. So you have Copernicus in the 1500s, who comes up with this radical idea, the heliocentric model. It basically says that the planets revolve around the sun, not the Earth. And he actually points out how this model makes the math for predicting where planets are going to be way simpler. Then Galileo, using the newly invented telescope, makes observations that completely contradict Aristotle's view of the heavens. Aristotle thought everything in the sky was perfect and unchanging, but Galileo sees imperfections on the sun and the moon. And get this, he discovers moons orbiting Jupiter. That means not everything revolves around the Earth, which was a huge challenge to what everyone thought they knew.
That must have blown people's minds.
It was a total game changer. And then you have Kepler, who built on all this amazing astronomical data that Tycho Brahe collected, really meticulous observations. And Kepler comes up with his laws of planetary motion, which basically describe how planets move mathematically. It solidified this heliocentric view. But here's the thing. All of this, little by little, revealed that the universe was governed by these predictable natural laws.
And then Isaac Newton comes along and basically unites it all.
Right. Isaac Newton, like this absolute giant of science, took all this work and did something remarkable. I mean, he designed this new type of reflecting telescope, discovered that white light is made up of all these colors, developed calculus, and maybe most importantly, came up with his laws of motion and the law of universal gravitation. This one law, it explained Kepler's laws of planetary motion, but also a ton of other stuff, from why an apple falls to the ground to why we have tides.
There's that famous quote about Newton, something like, "Nature and nature's laws lay hid in night. God said, let Newton be, and all was light." It's like this perfect way to describe how much our understanding of the universe was changing, how it was all being revealed through these natural principles.
It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, Newton himself was a very religious guy. He believed in God as the creator, and even that God could intervene sometimes. But after Newton, things shifted. Many thinkers were so impressed with how well Newton's laws explained things that they started to question whether God needed to intervene directly and constantly. That led to these movements like deism in England and the philosophes in France. They believed in a God who created everything, but then pretty much let the universe run on its own, according to these laws. So the need for miracles started to seem less and less important.
So this amazing success in explaining the universe through these consistent natural laws actually ended up making people question whether miracles were even necessary or even possible. Because, I mean, a miracle is, by definition, a suspension of those laws, right?
Exactly. And this sets the stage for these philosophical arguments that really hammered home this questioning and even outright rejection of miracles. I'm talking about thinkers like Spinoza, Hume, and Kant.
All right, so let's dig into what they said. What was Spinoza's main point against miracles?
Okay, so Spinoza, back in the 1600s, he had this pantheistic view of things. It's basically saying that God and nature are the same thing. So for him, natural law is the same as God's decree. And because God's decrees are, well, eternal and unchangeable, miracles become impossible. It doesn't make sense philosophically because a miracle would mean that God has to change his decrees. It's a very logical argument, but it all hinges on how he defines God.
So for Spinoza, a miracle wasn't just like unlikely. It literally couldn't happen.
Exactly. Then you have David Hume in the 1700s, who approached this whole thing from a very empirical point of view.
Empiricism, that's like the idea that we get knowledge mainly through what we experience and observe, right?
Right. So Hume says that the way we understand natural laws is through this constant, repeated experience. Miracles, though, they break those laws. So he basically says, look, we should only believe in a miracle if the evidence for it is so strong that it would be even crazier to think that the natural law somehow broke down in some other way that wasn't a miracle. It's like setting a super high bar for believing in miracles. Think of it like this. We experience gravity every day. To believe that something defied gravity, you'd need incredibly strong evidence, way beyond our normal experiences.
Right, because we see the sunrise every morning, so if someone said it didn't, they'd better have some seriously good proof.
Exactly. And finally, we get to Immanuel Kant in the late 1700s. His argument is a little different. He focused on the fact that humans can only understand so much.
So how did he apply that to miracles?
Kant said that humans can only experience and understand the world of appearances, basically, the things we can see and interact with. He called the realm of things as they truly are in themselves, independent of our perception. The noumenal realm. And he said we can never truly know that realm. It's kind of like you can see and touch a table. That's the world of appearances. But the real table, how it exists on its own outside of our senses, that's something we can't ever really know. So Kant's point is that because our knowledge is limited to appearances, it's almost impossible to be sure about anything supernatural, about God working outside of our experience. For Kant, religion shouldn't be about trying to figure out these metaphysical mysteries about miracles, but more about practical things like morality and our sense of duty. In his view, miracles don't really matter for real faith.
Okay, so these three thinkers, Spinoza with his idea that miracles can't happen, Hume with his super high bar for evidence, and Kant with his focus on the limits of what we can know, They all contributed to this intellectual climate where miracles were seen as increasingly questionable. And that brings us to theological liberalism, right?
Right. So theological liberalism popped up in 19th century Germany. It was a Protestant intellectual movement that tried to blend traditional Christian faith with all these new scientific and philosophical ideas coming out of the Enlightenment. They wanted to find a middle ground between, you know, hardcore Orthodox Christianity and those more radical skeptical views like deism and atheism, which were becoming more popular.
What were they trying to do with this movement?
Well, their main goal was to preserve what they saw as the heart of Christianity, like the moral teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. They wanted to make Christianity seem believable and relevant at a time when science and philosophy were saying, hey, maybe we don't need God for everything.
And how did they deal with, you know, all those miracle stories in the Bible and Christian tradition?
That's where it gets interesting. They basically tried to reinterpret or explain those miraculous events in a more natural way. So they started to look at the stories of Jesus's life with a critical eye, downplaying the miracles or giving them a different spin. They also applied these historical critical methods to the Bible itself, you know, questioning when the books were written and who wrote them. They suggested that there were multiple sources for the texts, that they were edited and changed over time, that some prophecies were actually written after the event supposedly happened, and that some parts of scripture might be symbolic or even fictional.
So they were trying to find natural explanations for things that had always been seen as supernatural.
Yeah, exactly. And this movement gained traction.
Yeah.
Spread from Germany to Britain and then to the U.S. in the late 1800s. And then Darwin's theory of evolution came along and gave them even more ammunition. It offered this whole other way to understand how life began and developed without needing God to step in and do miracles. Mm-hmm. So it really strengthened the liberal viewpoint. Theological liberalism became really powerful in universities, seminaries, and even within a lot of mainstream Protestant denominations. Dr. Newman even argues that some of their core ideas are actually kind of the standard way of thinking for a lot of intellectuals and cultural leaders in the U.S. and Europe, even today.
And their influence went beyond those groups, right?
Oh, absolutely. Even more conservative Christian groups were influenced by liberal thinking, sometimes directly and sometimes as a reaction against it, trying to defend their own beliefs. And you can see some of that liberal thinking in various cults and New Age movements, too, often kind of mixed in with other ideas.
Mm.
Dr. Newman also makes this really interesting point that sometimes Orthodox Christians went too far in their reaction against liberalism. They were so focused on disagreeing that they didn't really engage with the nuances of the issues.
So it's been this really complex back and forth of ideas over centuries.
For sure. And we see this progression, you know, starting with the Renaissance and all these new worldviews, then the Reformation with its focus on scripture, which kind of unintentionally led to more questions about miracles. Then the scientific revolution, showing how powerful these natural laws were. And finally, these big philosophical critiques that really challenged the whole idea of miracles. All of this came together and led to the rise of theological liberalism, which totally changed how people in the West understand the supernatural.
So looking back at all this, what are some of the main takeaways for us today?
I think what's really important is seeing how these seemingly separate historical movements were all connected, each one building on or reacting to what came before. It shows just how dynamic and fluid intellectual history can be. It means that the way we think today is the result of centuries of questioning, discovery, and debate.
It really makes you think about how our understanding of the world, and especially the extraordinary, has been shaped by this long and complex intellectual journey.
Totally. And it brings up a big question for you, our listener. How is this dialogue between science, philosophy, and religion still shaping our views on the extraordinary today? Because that conversation is definitely still going on, and it's always evolving.
It sure is.
It really is.